It's time now for the Ask the Mayor program here on NorthIowaNow.com. Our Ask the Mayor podcast is we're in Clear Lake. In fact, we are in Clear Lake City Hall as we record our podcast today. And not only do we have Clear Lake's Mayor Nelson Crabb, we have the new City Administrator Steve Deers joining us for this program today. And gentlemen, both of you, thanks for agreeing to join us for this program today.
Pleasure to be here, Bob.
You bet, Bob. Thank you very much.
Well, Steve, we kind of had set this up as, you know, kind of being in a, you know, your introductory interview with the community. We weren't able to get it done right away in July, and I had a little miscommunication with the mayor in August, so I'll do it today. But 2.5 months basically on the job, and just talk about your first 2.5 months and how things are going for you.
Yeah, you bet. No, it's been a great experience. We've really, my wife and family and I, we've really enjoyed moving to the community. Have loved getting to know the people in Clear Lake, in the area, city staff, elected officials. Everybody's been great, and so we've really enjoyed settling into the community.
Just for reminder's sake for people, your previous job was in Charles City. Maybe just go through your timeline of your history in city government.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been doing this for a little over 21 years. Most recently, I was the city administrator in Charles City, Iowa, for a little over 11 years. Prior to that, I was the city manager in Independence, Iowa. And prior to that is where I got my start in far northeast Iowa in the community of Monona, where I was the city administrator there. So I've been kind of doing the northeast Iowa tour of sorts.
Right. Talk about what made, when this position opened here in Clear Lake, what made it attracted you to apply for the position here?
Well, Clear Lake is such a beautiful and unique community. It really is. And, you know, being just down the road in Charles City, it's a place that my family and I would come to visit for various events, the Kite Festival in particular. Just really have always enjoyed visiting the community and like what it had to offer. And when the opportunity came up for the city administrator, I couldn't help but apply and just have been really happy with that decision.
Talk about what things in your mind, and I know we're going to talk about a number of topics here that, you know, that have been on council agendas and whatnot here in the recent past, here in just a couple of moments, but long-term goals, what do you want to see happen in this community?
Long-term, I want to see a continued streak of success for Clear Lake, and I'm hoping that I can help bring that to the table. There's so many great things happening in the community, and we've really fostered an environment to encourage entrepreneurship and people to try things. And so just with everything that the community has to offer between, you know, the lake, the surf, the highway, you know, Interstate 35 corridor, I think there's so many beautiful things that are attractive to this community for various reasons. So I just want to help expound on that success.
Mayor, to bring you in here quickly, I know with talking with some on the council, you know, when the interview process was going on and, you know, trying to figure out who the next city administrator would be, that it was a tough process. There were a lot of great candidates that were part of this process. What made, in your mind, Steve, rise to the top in your mind?
I definitely believe it was when Steve spoke and during the variety of interviews that we had for that, and actually was here and looked around the community. In my mind, I knew he was the person that was, I've said this before, was going to hit the ground running. And he certainly has, because we don't give him any time to rest here at this point in time. So, we are very, very pleased. And, I think from the very beginning of the process, when I realized that Steve had applied, that gave me a good feeling.
And obviously, just having been, you know, just a short ways away in Charles City, very familiar with the area, I'm sure that probably helped too, didn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like he just said, it's just down the road a piece, you know, and that fits very, 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 very well with, you know, what's happening in the North Iowa area. You know, not that far away even from the North Iowa corridor, which we are a part of too, along with the county and Mason City. So, yeah, very good fit.
Well, as we move into in our conversation here, some of the more recent things that have either been talked about on the council level or things that have gone on in the community, and we'll have you both, of course, chime in, whoever wants to. The opening of the Surf Ballroom Museum's Music Enrichment Center, which happened back on the ribbon cutting was on Sunday, with the kind of a soft opening the couple of days before that, and Destination Iowa Grant, a big help with this project. And, you know, just talk about what this, you know, means for the community to have this project going for the surf.
Yeah, it's a huge project and has been going on now for, 18 months at least. And it really fits the bill with regard to what that grant was all about, which was the Surf District Placemaking Grant. When that was submitted, we knew we wanted to put it in three parcels, shall we say. One would be the MEC building or the Music Experience Center, and then we have the streetscape, which comes down, you know, Buddy Holly Road and goes on west on North Shore Drive. That was the second part. And then an opportunity to connect with the lake itself. The lake itself, as we all know, is property of the state of Iowa. It's one of the three, as one senator said years ago, one of the three sovereign lakes in Iowa. So the connection should be there. So it fits, once again, that name of the grant, the Surf District Destination Placemaking Grant. And placemaking in connection with, yes, we want people to come and visit those three areas that I just mentioned about. It's not just the MEC Center with the immersive room and so on, but it's all those put together such that someone who would come and visit may then in turn go around and visit the rest of the town and very possibly in fact say, hey, this is a pretty good place to be, you know, perhaps, you know, we could settle here at some point in time.
When looking at the whole surf district and the concept, you know, originally brought forward of trying to redevelop that area, I mean, it was a good area, you know, before, but still trying to make that an even better place to attract tourists. And part of that, of course, is the Oaks Hotel project. And we're going to get that in just a second. But the idea was to get that area more attractive for tourists, not only to just come in and out for one night for something at the surf bar, or maybe to make it a longer experience.
Correct. You know, I can relate back to when my wife and I came to town. That's 60 years ago. Unbelievable. But there were five different places to lodge down there. Hotel, motel, that word has kind of gone out of use now. But and now there are none there. So it is not really the destination that it might have been, you know, 60 years ago. It's really changed a lot. What was once a motel is now an apartment. Others have, for example, what was the Swan Motel. I'm not quite sure what the name of it is today, but not much happens there at this point in time either. And there were eating places around there, you know, Whitkey's, where the Redstone is now, and they had different names to it. There was the Golden Goose, and that was name for it, I do believe. So there were a lot of places that were there that fit the bill for people who wanted to come down to visit, and those are all gone. And so the replacement is what we see going on today.
And one of those things that is, you know, being proposed to be redeveloped down there is that Oaks Hotel project. And Steve, maybe we'll have you chime in on the council last month approved a letter of support for the application of redevelopment tax credits. And that's something that, you know, many developers of projects are trying to take advantage of, because the state is offering these tax credits for projects just like this.
Yes, absolutely. You know, anytime you look at a substantial project like this hotel project, it's an expensive endeavor, and so you're looking at ways to help make these projects work. In this case, you know, there happened to be a former hotel on that site, and so it qualified for some eligibility through what were once called Grayfield tax credits, but it's basically, you know, tax credits, you know, that come in to help offset that cost of development. And so, you know, that was part of what the council approved here last month, was a letter of support supporting a hotel project, right? You know, that'll help finish the cleanup of that area and help with the process of, you know, placing that hotel going forward.
Last council meeting, obviously there were a bunch of people that got up and, you know, addressed the council about, Part of the plan potentially is to close 7th Avenue North in dealing with that Oaks Hotel project. And I know some of the people behind the development of that hotel have been like, the drawings of the hotel, that was just kind of a place setting thing, because you kind of needed some kind of concept to be shown to people on what it might be. And I'll have you both weigh in on this one, just because obviously there's that pushback and some people that were not happy at that last meeting back a week ago. And I know the council did approve a traffic study for that area as well. Just talk about, some of that pushback and maybe as well a little bit about what this traffic study is going to do to maybe alleviate some of those concerns or show some of the positives and negatives there.
Yeah, well, I think, the traffic study for that area was something that we felt would, it was certainly brought up by members of the public and something that we had considered and obviously something we're moving forward with now, just to kind of verify what are the traffic counts, the turning movements, how would a potential closing of 7th impact North Shore? How would it impact Buddy Holly? To really get some tangible numbers to that, and so we wanted to get that done as soon as we could, prior to Labor Day, while we still had the higher traffic counts typically. So we have I want to say worst case scenario, but most number of cars going through that is possible to really get a good clear picture of how that could be impacted. So we have a workshop coming up on September 23rd that's going to be specifically dedicated to the discussion of this project with the city council. And so we'll be reviewing what are the results of that traffic study. What are the different iterations of the building and layout that could happen there? That's something that the developer is working on as we speak. So it was great to have those public forums. You want to present these projects as, these are substantial projects. And so you want feedback from the community as far as what they like, concerns they have, and you want to be able to do your best to try and address those. So I'm hopeful that, with the feedback we've received and with the study going on and alterations and plans coming forward, that we'll be able to find that path forward for a project that works for the area.
Mayor, you have any thoughts you want to chime in as well on that?
Yeah, I think it goes right back once again to the grant title, which was, a federal grant through the state, and the state put a name on it as the destination placemaking grant. And so this would be a destination if people are coming here. Well, if it is a destination, you go down there and the nearest hotel is out on the interstate somewhere, that doesn't make an awful lot of sense either. And the fact that the Hilltop had stopped being an active hotel at that time, it became available, and so we became the ones who put the process together to get this, buy this from the formal owners, and looked at that as being a really, really good place to put a hotel right next to the new MEC Center and all the other renovations going on, shall we say, with the streetscape and the addition of the entry to the lake. So it fit, it fit perfectly there.
And I know talking with Mr. Llewellyn, the CEO over at the Surf, the new man in charge over at the Surf Ballroom, one of the things that they are hoping to do with that new hotel is market these concerts coming in, market and other markets, Waterloo, Quad Cities, Des Moines, just as examples, to get those people here and keep them here for just longer than a quick in and out. And that's, once again, I know I probably said this before, that's kind of the concept of this whole project, mm-hmm. is to make that area better for people to stay in Clear Lake longer and, spend some more money and, increase local option sales taxes and hotel motel taxes and stuff like that.
Yep, you're right on with that, Bob, exactly. And, I can go back into the history of it all. This hotel replaces another hotel, and the plan is to give it the same name, the Oaks Hotel. Obviously, it won't look identical to the Oaks Hotel back in the 1890s, I believe, when that was going up there. Things have changed with entryways, et cetera, et cetera. But what was that hotel there for? That was for the hundreds, thousands, I who knows how many came out on a train, got off right there at Mars Hill, came down to that hotel, stayed there, also put up all their tents. So it was an area of attraction even back then. Not necessarily the entertainment attraction that we have now, but the religious Chautauqua, which I believe came out from New York State.
Clear Lake Mayor Nelson Crabb and City Administrator Steve Deers here on the Ask the Mayor podcast here on NorthIowaNow.com. And before we move on to some other things that are on my list to ask you about, you know, this is the first time I've been in this part of City Hall since the remodeling has been done. And how long has it been done now? How long has things been done?
Ever since I've been here.
They did it all for you, right?
Yeah. Actually, I know that we happened my previous community where in the middle, we were planning a City Hall remodeling project. So I actually came over and visited with the City of Clear Lake last September. And I know that was when they were putting some of the finishing touches on. Mm-hmm. But I know this room was in existence, but maybe, Mayor, you could speak to that.
Yeah, it took well over a year, you know, to where we had everything put back in here. And we were actually, this conference room is a part of my old office.
I was
right
where it is.
Door and everything is exactly the same. But this is a very, very good place. I feel, you know, before I knew Jennifer, our city clerk, was in the office, but now she's right next door to my office. And the finance director was off somewhere else in another part of the office, and they're on the other side of me. You know, we go across the hall, and that's Steve's office. So, you know, I think the working relationship is much, much improved as compared to the old.
Yeah, definitely. If you've not been in City, like I said, this is my first time that I've been in here since the project has been done, and I'm very impressed just with the quick tour that I got here before we started our program. At the last council meeting, the council approved automated license plate reading cameras, the Flock system, I guess what it's being called, and maybe one concept that may be a misunderstanding of some people in the public is that these are going to be automated law enforcement cameras, and Steve, that's just not the case.
Right. Yeah, these are going to be used for specifically identifying license plates and vehicles. That's what this focuses in on, and it's going to be used in the case of, you know, if there's a missing person or missing vehicle, we'll be able to have that information to share with other law enforcement agencies and vice versa to be able to help track and, you know, find missing persons or what have you. So no, it's not gonna focus in on any individual in particular or be used as an automatic a traffic enforcement device. This is a real specific use and used for zeroing in on license plates and vehicles.
And this is being used in many communities in Iowa and throughout the Midwest. In fact, I remember Chief Colby had the one example of a car that I believe it was stolen here in Clear Lake and found in Des Moines.
Yes, yep, that's correct. So there are a number of communities around the state and really the country that are utilizing this technology. And, yeah, it should not be confused with automatic traffic enforcement, which is something that's been a lot of focus of the state and in other communities. This has a real specific purpose.
Yeah, those traffic cameras in Charles City.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm $200 lighter after those things. Did you like the state law that turned those off in Charles City or not? Or you're not going to give me a comment on that?
Well, I mean, you know, they limited their uses in specific areas. And I will tell you, it slowed traffic down. It really served a purpose well. Yeah. Because we were, you know, just to speak of Charles City, there was 10,000 vehicles over the course of 2 months that were going well over 11 miles an hour through different areas. So it was effective. But, you know, it's, you know, we're... You deal with how things come through, and hopefully there's other ways that we can work towards, you know, keeping speeds reasonable. I think that, you know, that was the goal of everything. So
because that was probably the community closest to here that was really impacted. I don't think there were many communities, you know, outside of Charles City that were using those cameras. So
yeah, there were
those
some
types of cameras.
Yeah. There were, I mean, you get into Waterloo, Sea Rapids,
right.
Old Wine, some other, you know, smaller communities as well. But I don't know that Mason City or Clear Lake had gone down that path.
I didn't mean to deviate. It's just that I got ticketed once. No.
Well, welcome to town.
I enjoyed Charles City. I've been there plenty of times. So I'm sorry. Like I said, I did not mean to deviate.
You're fine.
You're going to have a fire chief position that you're going to have to fill here in the near future. Doug Myers, the long time chief, announcing his retirement effective January 5th, and the council and mayor got an opportunity to hear about a potential transition plan, which may change up a few things. Just for the matter of Doug had multiple experience with being a fire chief as well as in the EMS side of things with the fire department.
Yeah, that's 100%. Doug, for my short time here, I've really enjoyed getting to meet Doug and, you know, and learning all the things that he's brought to this community. And you hit on it. I mean, he's got a lot of experience, not only on the fire side of things, but on the EMS side of things, too. And so when you talk about changes going forward, they're going to, you know, from the public standpoint, I think the viewpoint would be very minimal, right? But from an operational standpoint, you know, with the plan that the fire department proposed, which council then approved, and I certainly supported, was the fact that, you know, with Doug's retirement, you know, they're working on, you know, going to name a replacement chief, but, you know, that person doesn't have the background or experience that Doug has on the EMS side of things. So they encouraged the addition of a, you know, probably a part-time EMS captain position, if you will. So that'll be a position that'll be newly created that'll help oversee the EMS side of operations, because when you talk about EMS, ambulance service, that type of provision, there's a lot of reporting and things that you have to do, and you have to do correctly. And to have a person there to help assist really the chief and oversee the fire chief in seeing that is a good thing. So that's the process we're going to see going forward is, you know, not only will we see a new fire chief, Doug's last day is January 6th, I believe, January 5th, right, shortly after the start of the new year. But after Doug leaves, you know, we're going to be transitioning into a new chief, look to put that EMS captain position in place and have somebody there to help oversee that day-to-day, you know, record keeping.
And speaking of the fire department, of course, tomorrow night, 9/11, the 24th anniversary of that event taking place. And the fire department, obviously, here has been good in, you know, having a ceremony about that. And of course, the World Trade Center steel piece of that is on the fire department grounds. And Mayor, that event always brings out a lot of people to honor those, and I know we've got a special guest that is a Clear Lake native that's going to be joining us for that event.
That's my understanding as well. I haven't gotten the print material on any of that at this point, but I hate to say this, but you always look forward to that, because on that particular day, those of us who were around then, we remember exactly where we were at what point in time, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just a horrendous day. As we all kind of know, I had a brother who happened to be leaving Newark Airport at this within an hour of when the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania left at the gate next to him, did not know that, and he arrived in Milwaukee. And everybody was staring at the TV, and that was the first time that he knew that anything had happened. And he was on the fire department back home in Jersey and couldn't get home because there were no air going. And so rented a car and immediately raced back. And his company, fire, did not go into the city, but filled in behind for other departments that had gone in to the city at that time. So, you know, it was pretty sharp in his mind, and has been for a number of years. And, you know, I really admire firefighters. You know, I had a grandfather that was a fire chief years ago, before there were covers over the driving portion of the fire apparatus. And Doug and his family have been deep into firefighting. You know, his father was I believe involved in being a chief. Doug was a chief, and Doug was there for 50 years. And one really good thing from an insurance standpoint, as Doug has been on there, our ISO insurance rating has gone from a class 6 to a class 3. Now, in ratings like that, it's where you go down is the better better number. And so that's helped all of our insurance rates here in Clear Lake, thanks to the strength of that particular department. And you know, they're well known. I don't have that date right in front of me, and Mike Keefe will probably slap me in the side of the face here for that. But the pancake supper is coming up, and that's his baby. He's going to get that, and a great, great crowd comes there.
First Sunday in October. Does that sound right?
You're probably right on. But, you know, and that the local people really, really do support our firefighters there. I think 80% of the people voted yes when they built the new fire station. And to come and see that piece of it has great significance on that particular day. And always a great, great speaker for that particular evening. So congratulations to Doug on the 50 years, and he's still around here, however, till January 6th, and we're pleased.
And I'll just add in, too, I'm very honored that they've asked me to be part of the ceremony tomorrow night over at the fire station. So that gets started at 6 o'clock. And so just happy to be a part of that, and just, great group we have. And yes, October 5th is the pancake breakfast. Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Keefe has treated you well, I'm hoping.
He's treated me like he's treated everybody else.
Well, I could be. We could,
which as well.
I was just going to say, we could go several directions with that, having us all known Mr. Keefe for a while. So
that'd be fun.
Anyway.
He's a good guy.
He is a very good guy. The police department are restarting the canine program. That is a good thing, I think, for the police department. Obviously, it's been dormant for a number of years, and just to get that effort up and running once again.
Yeah, that's a big plus for the community. I was actually quite surprised when I came to town to find that not only did we not have a canine program here any longer, but neither did Mesa City or Saragora County, for that matter. So I know we have, my previous community, we had one and went to the county. It was always a great support, so I was very happy to see efforts being made to bring back the canine. And we interviewed an officer that was interested in serving that capacity, and so he's been approved to be the handler. We've acquired a dog, and that dog's being trained as we speak, and so we'll be excited once our canine unit is available and be able to serve the public.
And that dog, if I remember right, is being trained almost locally up in Forest City, if I remember right.
That's correct. That's right. Yeah.
So that's, yeah. I mean, that's got to be a positive, because I think it used to be you had to go several states away to typically have that done.
You did, and then if there was a time where you'd have to, you know, board the dog or, you know, do it, you know, different aspects of training, you know, with it just being in Forest City is an incredible benefit, and it'll be really handy.
I know the downtown assessment is going on here. This started yesterday, and the group from the IEDA will have present their findings tomorrow afternoon. Obviously, with our downtown area, Mayor, we've seen some positives and negatives through the years happen downtown, and obviously, it's always been a big thing to try to keep this downtown vibrant.
That's very, very true, and you know, we can blame it on the weather, but we shouldn't. I mean, there's a way that we're going to have to work around that particular aspect of successful retail stores on Main Street. And that's what we're looking at. How can we better serve the public with the type of retail that they're asking for? What they're asking for, I'm not quite sure, but, you know, it's something that's different than a big box store coming in. It's something different than, you know, a whole series of business offices all along that particular route as well. But, you know, we've done a lot of work down there, sidewalk work, street work. There's have been, over the years, different patterns of parking, and so this will be looked at in this manner, and perhaps it'll stay the way it is. And, you know, we've really kind of dressed that up a little bit with around the water department. We've redone that whole area, and there are splash pads in there that reflect kind of the culture of Clear Lake itself, with the mosaics on some of the buildings that are already there. Every noontime downtown, you know, all you see people lined up by that seawall. As I say, there they are sitting staring at that lake for 45 minutes and then back to their job. But it's a place where people go to relax, to look out over a long distance. And so that and the park area, all of this has to work to the benefit of meeting the needs of not just our own folks here in the community, but once again, those who come and visit.
Last week, the city was part of a housing conference down in Cedar Rapids, and I know the city received here in the recent past a big designation to help with address housing in the community. And Steve, you might just talk about that housing conference as well as the is it the Thriving Communities designation?
Yes, yes. So the Clear Lake received the Thriving Communities designation, which is a program that the Iowa Finance Authority started here about 3 years ago. And what that does is communities, in this year I believe there's 22 total applicants, cities from across the state. Eight presented to Iowa Finance Authority, and ultimately five were selected. We happen to be one of the five that were selected. And what that designation gives you are bonus points for a tax credit application that would be for the developer, right? So if you're a developer that does housing and you're looking for places to build, these tax credits are highly competitive. And so being a thriving community, we actually get bonus points for that developer that will be applying for the tax credit application. So on a 50-point scale, they could get 5 to 7 bonus points just for doing it in Clear Lake. And so that's an incredible benefit and something that has really brought a lot of developers to our door now, you know, talking about various projects, ideas. We have a couple sites in mind for some things that'll meet some of our market rate needs. There's two separate tax credit application bonus points that we've been awarded. There's market rate tax credits for what they call workforce housing, and then there's low-income housing tax credits, which is designed for affordable housing. So we're looking to try and achieve a project in each one of those through either one developer for both or maybe separate developers for two different projects, but do something to bring additional housing into Clear Lake because, you know, that is an area where we struggle is of availability of housing. You know, it's kind of a unique problem for Clear Lake in that we just have so many, you know, VRBO rentals. And so if we can find a way to bring some additional housing into the community, that would be a great thing.
Now, I know I mentioned it when we talked about the Oaks Hotel application for redevelopment tax credits. We're in an unfortunate situation or unfortunate world, I don't know how you really want to put it, where tax credit programs like this just get developers more interested as opposed to them just coming in blindly and wanting to do something.
Yes, I mean, even just having developers come in, we've been fairly successful at that. But it's housing is an incredibly difficult nut to crack. And if you can find a way to help incentivize to bring in some developers to do some additional housing, these tax credits are made available to them to help offset that cost, whatever it is, to help get them into the community to serve the public is certainly a benefit.
Last thing I want to talk about here quick is the 4th Avenue South Multimodal Corridor Project, and I know the council has been getting some information on that here a couple of meetings ago, and obviously that's a project that's not just going to be done quickly. This is going to be a long process in trying to make improvements to that stretch of road between basically the interstate and the lake.
Yeah, absolutely. That project, the initial concept was looking to take those four lanes and do what they call a road diet, where, we're trying to find a way to get some trail access through that area. Right now it's all just heavy vehicular. And how do you take those four lanes and convert that? And so initial concept was to look at two lanes with a turning lane in the middle and then that fourth lane being a bike trail lane. Through review and planning over the course of the last year, that evolved into a project that would have a delineated bike trail and then, basically three lanes of traffic that would incorporate, in this case, three different roundabouts throughout that to help with traffic flow and safety. And so that's something certainly new, concept being brought to the community is the idea of roundabouts. Part of this process is we received a raise grant to do the planning and development of that, but ultimately for the project we're looking at a large federal grant as well. And one of the key pieces they look for on those federal grants is, you know, safety. What are you doing to address safety? And certainly roundabouts, some like them, some don't. I have to say, you know, once you use them, they're pretty nice. They do bring a certain aspect of safety to the project. And so we had a meeting earlier this morning as we were talking about different design aspects for that area, and that's progressing. And I think we're looking to have the design work completed on that here by the end of September, early October.
As we start to wrap up our conversation, Mayor or Steve, do you have anything else that you want to add that we didn't touch on?
I just want to say that, you know, we still in this community maintain strong partnerships with others who are also trying to improve this community. You know, going with us down to Cedar Rapids with regard to the thriving honor that we received down there, and that, you know, the Chamber of Commerce director went with us. We had North Iowa Corridor people along, and we continue to do that. And that's the only way, you might say, small town USA can survive successfully and be an attraction and be a destination and be a placemaking community. And we certainly do have that. And with Steve, that just heightens that much, much more to the positive. And we're very, very pleased to have Steve with us, and to continue with that partnership is a huge, huge plus. One last thing.
Yeah.
We want to try to get to honor the FFA students in our community, because I believe this is the second or third year they have done all of the hanging flower plants around the community, and they're just beautiful, and they're as beautiful today as they were last spring when they put them up. So many, many thanks to those students and their instructor advisors as well. Great, great group to have.
Steve, anything else you want to add?
No, I think the mayor summed it up well, and just, you know, so many great things happening in this community. Like the mayor just pointed out, those hanging baskets don't just happen. And that's a great, great effort, great partnership. And so it's great to be in a community that so many people come together to make things better.
Gentlemen, appreciate you taking some time out and talking about the city of Clear Lake. And we'll gather again next month. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Lions, Lions, Lions.
Yeah. Got a little football game coming up on against those Lynx of Webster City, right?
You bet.
Yeah. Thanks,
Mayor. All right, you bet. Mayor Nelson Crabb, City Administrator Steve Deers, and we have been recording our program on the Ask the Mayor program today. We're here from Clear Lake City Hall, and you've been listening here on NorthIowaNow.com.